السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقد قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام and most respected brothers, this is the month of Ramadan and it is appropriate that we speak as much about taqwa as possible in this holy month, because so much is dependent on this taqwa. So much is dependent on this taqwa. If we are going to have taqwa, it is going to be a solution to our problems. Whether we understand it or we don't, whether we can see the link and the connection or we cannot, but if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned it, then it is the truth and nothing but the truth. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif the verse which you have heard hundred and many times, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That the person who develops taqwa within himself, the person who adopts taqwa in his life, Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for him in all his problems. Now this is a promise made by Allah Ta'ala himself, that the person who develops taqwa in his life, Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for him in his problems. And Allah Ta'ala will provide for him from unexpected sources. That is the gist of that ayat. That the sources will be unknown to this person. Allah Ta'ala will provide from such sources that he least expected it to come from those sources. Not only Allah Ta'ala knows how he is going to provide, through what sources he is going to provide, but Allah will find a way out for him and he will provide from sources unexpected. Now these are the two major problems of man today. That the person wants a solution to his problems. Whatever difficulty he is in, whatever problem he finds himself in, he wants a way out. And also he wants sustenance which is sufficient for himself, for his family. Sufficient will be, which will provide him with the necessities of life, which will give him even the comforts of life. This is what the person wants. He wants provisions of that nature. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is promising that on this taqwa in the person's life. So generally this idea comes to mind that taqwa is for those who are of a very, very high caliber and high level. People who are great walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or those who were born walis, for them is taqwa. Only they can adopt taqwa. For people like us, how can we adopt taqwa? How can we develop taqwa in these times of fitna, corruption and mischief? When there's so much of corruption, when there's so much of mischief and fitna, then taqwa is something that is impossible for us. If we are going to say this, it means that we are not believing in the verses of the Quran Sharif in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O ye believers, fear Allah as he should be feared. That means have taqwa in your lives and do not die except in a state of Islam. Do not leave this world except in a state of Islam. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is addressing all mankind, and especially here in this case Allah ta'ala is addressing the believers. He is addressing those people who have believed in him, that you must have this taqwa in your life until death. Until death we must have taqwa. And the Quran Sharif is for all times. The Quran Sharif is until the day of judgment. It was not only for a specific group of people or for certain categories of people. And it was not for a specified period of time. So people who will come until the day of Qiyamah, who will believe in Allah and His angels and His books, then they are ordered to develop taqwa in their lives. Somebody get those children to move out from the front there and, or come away inside. So we have to have this taqwa until our dying day. It is not a question of just having taqwa for the pious and for the walis of Allah Ta'ala. So then this thought comes into our hearts that how can we then develop taqwa? It is very difficult. It is extremely difficult. So if it was so difficult, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would not have made it farz. Taqwa is just as farz as is namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. Taqwa is also a hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and it is farz. I explained in some majlis or some talk of mine that in our times, what does taqwa mean? Taqwa means that whenever you intend doing something, whatever we are intending to do, then we find out whether my Allah is pleased with this or displeased. Is it permissible in Sharia and in Islam to undertake it or it is not permissible? Now there again we will have fatwas. Fatwas from different ulama, from different muftis. So if our heart tells us that a certain mufti is of a caliber, he is not motivated by greed, by money, or by any material benefit, his fatwas are based on the Quran and the Sunnah, he is not going to be bought off easily with any kind of wealth, then you ask that one reliable, reputable mufti, and if that person says that to undertake your business transaction in this manner is permissible, then that is the taqwa of the time. If he says that it is permissible for you to eat these type of foods, then that is the taqwa of the time. If he says that it is permissible for you to undertake that marriage of your son or your daughter in a certain manner, then that is the taqwa of the time. Whatever aspect of our life, if the fatwa is according to the Quran and the Sunnah given by a reputable person, I'm not talking about those people who are just mushrooming everywhere. A person goes to some institution, spends 6 months and suddenly he's got a rubber stamp mufti so and so. A person sometimes does not even stay in the company of some learned mufti for years and he just goes to some institution for a few years and suddenly he returns with the label and with the title of a mufti. Now these type of muftis we have plentiful in the world. There are any amount of them. And for those people who want to find a way out for their nafs, then they go in search of such kind of muftis and afterwards they quote such muftis that this mufti so and so said this. But look at the life of that mufti. Is he practicing according to the Quran and the Sunnah in his own life? Has he got taqwa in his own life? Is he staying away from those things which are declared haram by the Quran and by the Sharia? If he is not staying away from those things, then we can see that this person is claiming to be a mufti, is claiming to be a great alim and a great scholar, but in his own life we cannot find any trace of that taqwa, then it shows that his fatwas are also suspect. Because this person will now find a fatwa which will suit our whims and fancies. And we should not feel scared that all the fatwas will be against us. That the moment we are going to find out something, it will be haram, haram, haram. There's no such thing as everything is haram. If everything was haram, then the Muslims would not have ruled over the continents of the world. They would not have been ruling over Spain. They would not have been ruling over Europe. They would not have been ruling over so many countries of the world. More than 2/3 of the then known world was being ruled over by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So if everything was haram, then how did they rule over the countries? How did they prosper in the businesses? How did they do import, export, trade and business? How did they marry their daughters and their children? How did they educate their children? All these things, it shows that in Islam, it is not just everything is haram, haram, haram. Some people go on to extremes and they make life difficult. Some muftis go on to extremes and they make life difficult for the people. Whereas those issues where there is a difference of opinion, and the difference of opinion too is based on the Quran and Sunnah, according to the Quran and Sunnah. It is not whims and fancies, and it is not by people who have just labeled themselves as muftis. Then there is a concession. There you choose the mufti on whom you have confidence and follow his fatwa, and that will be the taqwa of the time. How simple and easy. In other words, every person, right until the day of Qiyamah, he can develop this taqwa in himself. What it really means, the real meaning of taqwa here, is, besides going into the technical meanings or the literal meanings, that the person restrains himself from everything that Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have declared as haram. That is taqwa. We are not saying must make plenty of tahajjud namaz, must make ishraq, chasht and awwabin namaz, or we must read 100,000 times this tasbih or that tasbih. Those things, if a person does out of the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he will be rewarded, because Allah ta'ala has got two rights. One is the right of his azmat, and one is the right of his muhabbat. The right of Allah ta'ala's azmat is, of his greatness is, of his grandeur is, that we restrain ourselves from all those things that are displeasing to Allah. He is our creator, everything lies in his hands. Whether we like it or not, everything lies in his hands. After Fajr, the talks that are going on, we are discussing the tafsir of Surah Falaq. And there I mentioned that if you have to take a seed, I'm repeating it for the sake of those people who are not here Fajr time, they read the Salat in other masjids, that you take a seed, that little seed that you plant into the ground, it has to be protected from so many different kinds of elements. That seed, first of all, itself, there must be no germs within that seed to destroy that seed. It has to be protected from that which is within itself first. Then you normally put under the ground a person who has passed away, who is dead. In other words, anything that you want to kill, you put under the ground. Why were the people burying their little daughters alive in the time of Rasul Pak Sarasam, or in the days of Jahiliyyah before they accepted Islam? Because they wanted to kill that child. In the same way, anything else, to kill it, we say put it under the ground. We do not want that thing, we say put it under the ground. But look at that seed, that we are putting that tiny little seed inside the ground, and then we are covering it with so much of sand again. Then who is it that causes it to germinate and come through the earth and come out like a stem, and then slowly grow into a huge tree and then start bearing fruits which the world receives as supplies? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he protects that seed. So that seed requires protection from germs within itself. Then it requires inside the ground, it requires warmth, it requires air, it requires water, it requires so many things before it can germinate. Then when it grows and comes out, then again it must be protected from the forces of nature, as we call it, whereas it is actually Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's forces. So now it must be protected from rain, heavy rain, from storms, from gale force winds, from hailstones, from snow, from so many things it must be protected. And then again it must be protected from the people who are jealous and envious. If it has grown into, the person has got a lovely crop now of sugarcane, or has got a lovely crop of wheat or maize. Now what happens is that somebody who is jealous and envious may just go and put one match, and just one match is sufficient to destroy a whole forest. So here again it must be protected from the jealousy and from the envy of people, or from the people who are going to steal or who snatch it away. Now so many different things are required for that. In the same way, this life of ours, it is required, so many different kinds of protection are required. Protection at the time of conception, protection after that in the mother's stomach, protection at the time that the child is born, and after that his whole life, we do not know how much of protection the person requires. Therefore, in that morning explanation of Surah Falaq, I have been explaining that is the reason that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. I seek refuge in the Lord of Dawn from each and everything that, from the mischief of everything that Allah ta'ala has created. We are seeking protection in Him. But that is not my subject, but what I just try to remind you is this, that when everything lies in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is it that can protect a thing through all these stages and cause it to be nourished and cause it to flourish? It is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it is only right and it is only fair and it is deserving of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that we restrain ourselves from those things that are displeasing to Him. Because by displeasing Him, we are not going to make our lives comfortable. We are not going to make our lives pleasant on earth. We are not going to make our lives bring any kind of happiness in our lives. Allah ta'ala is the one, if He becomes pleased, then believe me that Allah Ta'ala will give us happiness. Allah Ta'ala has got stocks of happiness which He puts into the hearts. So here this taqwa is for everyone until the day of Qiyamah. And as I just explained, that it is extremely easy, that for us our taqwa is that we restrain ourselves from haram. And then it is the right of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat that we make nafil namaz, we make charge, we make ishraq, we keep nafil rozas, we give more charities, we show generosity and kindness, and do all things over and above those things which are wajib and farz. Then that shows that we've got muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala. One is a person who is employed and he said that you must work 8 to 5 and do this ABC. Then that person does exactly that and nothing more. Then we will say that he's just fulfilling a timetable. He's fulfilling his duty. But the other person who says, no, I still want to carry on working for a couple more hours. I can see that you are busy or your health is not good and I want to assist you and help you. And I want to do this for you and I want to do that for you. Then that boss too will say that, no, this person has got love for me. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his love demands that we do all these ibadat. So this taqwa, this is the purpose of the fasting in this month of Ramadan, that we develop this taqwa. And this restraining ourselves from food and drink, Allah Ta'ala is not short of any food or drink. And our food and drink does not reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants us to develop this taqwa because He wants to put the crown of wilayat onto our heads. Allah Ta'ala is the one who is inviting us. He says that I want to put this crown of wilayat. I want to make you my wali. I want to make you my friend. Whereas Allah Ta'ala sees everything in our bodies. There's so much of pus and matter and blood and urine and stool and all kinds of filth in our bodies. If only for some reason or the other, may Allah Ta'ala protect us. But if there was a person that you could see through his body all the filth that is inside there, and he had to come away to the masjid, will any one of us be prepared to stand next to that person? Here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows all the filth that is in our lives. He knows all the filth that is in our bodies. And yet Allah Ta'ala says, I want to make you my friend. I want to make you my wali. Because Allah Ta'ala says, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. The friends of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala are only the muttaqeen. Only the people who have got taqwa, they are the friends of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says that, I want to make you my friend. You develop this taqwa in this month of Ramadan and you will become my friend. I will become your wali. And when Allah Ta'ala becomes the wali and the protector and the friend of someone, then we can just imagine what kind of a life that person will be enjoying. Don't look at the outside conditions. I've mentioned many, many times that don't look at the outside conditions. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala has given us this example that the flower blooms in the midst of thorns. That many a times all round there's thorns, but the flower is blooming in the center of those thorns. Like that, look at the lives of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Ali Majma'in. Some of them were beaten up. They were chased out of their homes. Their properties and everything was snatched away in Makkah Sharif. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them such sukoon in their hearts that when they came to Medina Sharif, again Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala after that put the empires at their feet. So what I am saying is this, that we must not get frightened when we hear this word taqwa, that this word taqwa, it is a very difficult thing for us to develop taqwa. For us it is easy, especially in these times, to become the wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It's extremely easy. Now you may say that this is very difficult. To adopt taqwa is something very difficult, and you are saying it's very easy. What I am saying is that in these days, because there's so much of mischief, so much of corruption and so much of fitnas in the outside world, without doing much nafil ibadat, without reading much tasbih and without staying awake the whole night like other people used to do, all we have to do is restrain our gaze from haram, restrain our hearing from haram, restrain our tongues from haram, make our earnings halal, and after that you are the wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Fulfill the rights of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the rights of His creation, and the person is a wali. And when the person becomes the wali of Allah Ta'ala, he develops this taqwa, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opens the doors of His kingdoms for this person. Look at the Quran Sharif, there are so many verses in which the benefits and the virtues of taqwa have been mentioned. This is the reason why the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajmain, even though they were told that they are Jannatis, they will go into Jannat, but they had such khawf of Allah Ta'ala in their hearts. That fear of Allah Ta'ala, I've repeatedly said, should be born out of the love of Allah Ta'ala. That we must not displease the one that we love, we should be loving. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is our beloved, we should not displease Him. Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we should not displease Him. So these people, they feared that displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, that khawf of Allah Ta'ala made them tear and cry and weep. It was not that they didn't have trust on what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had said. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, all the doors of Jannat will be inviting him. Read in Hikayatul Sahaba. All the doors of Jannat will be inviting Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But yet Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sometimes he picks up a blade of grass and he says, I wish I was this blade of grass. I had been eaten by some animal and that was the end. Sometimes he says, I wish I was a tree and I had been cut off and that was the end of my life. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave him the glad tidings of Jannat, and if he was not going to Jannat, then who else was going to go to Jannat? Then what is it that is making him tear? Once he saw one bird that was flying under some trees and singing away the praises of Allah. So he looked at that bird and he said, oh you bird, how lucky you are. How fortunate you are. You eat, you drink, you fly under the shade of trees. There is no reckoning for you on the day of Qiyamah. How fortunate you are. Now what is it that is bringing this khawf in their hearts? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, I wish I was a blade of grass that was eaten by some beast. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave him the glad tidings of Jannat. In this world, he said, Umar fil Jannah. But still, what is this khawf? One day he heard the recitation of the Quran Sharif. One ayat of the Jahannam Azab was recited by one person whilst he was going around checking at night. So he heard from outside that this person was reciting in tahajjud. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu fell down unconscious. He returns home and for one whole month he remained sick. People used to come and visit him and they did not know what is it that has caused him this illness. And it was that khawf of Allah ta'ala which had come into his heart. So what was it? So many sahabis when they recited the Quran Sharif, Nabi Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when they made the dua after that, and when they teared and wept with the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told some of them that today you have even made the angels weep. There are so many incidents of the weeping of the sahaba-i kiram. Now for what were they weeping? It was this taqwa that made them weep. They feared the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because in the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala lies the destruction of the person. Now you and I, we have heard, or many a times you have heard in my dua, my saying, agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera falak mera zami meri. Oh Allah, if you are not mine, then nothing is mine. And if you are mine, then everything is mine. Then the earth is mine, the heavens are mine. Everything is mine if you are mine. And if you are not ours, then nothing is ours. So this month of Ramadan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us, in the Hadith Sharif it comes, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He has got rewards for everything. The meaning of that Hadith is this, that Allah ta'ala has got rewards for everything, for namaz, for zakat, for hajj, for charities, for everything Allah ta'ala has got a certain reward, which He asked the angels to hand out to those people that are engaging in those kinds of ibadat. But when it comes to fasting, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. That fasting is for me and I will reward that. I will give the rewards of that fast. As Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi had said, he said, Sawm hai iman se, iman rukhsat sawm gum. Sawm hai iman se, iman rukhsat sawm gum. Qawm hai Quran se, Quran rukhsat qawm gum. He says, if there is no iman, then there is no fast. Because it is only the iman of a person that can restrain him from drinking something on a hot day, or eating some food if he is hungry, or associating with his wife, having relationship. Yet he is a young person who got just married. What is it that restrains them? It is only that taqwa in the person's heart. It is only that khawf of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah is watching. If the whole world goes to sleep, but Allah Ta'ala does not sleep, no slumber overtakes him, no sleep overtakes him. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. The person knows that. So therefore this person restrains himself. So if he hasn't got iman, then there's no sawm. And he says if the person hasn't got Quran, then there's no qawm. There's no community of Muslim without the Quran. At present we all take the name of the Quran. We take the name of the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We say we must follow the Quran, we must follow the sunnah. And the person who is calling towards following the Quran and following the Sunnah, he has got a young secretary that's scantily dressed right next to him, and she is sitting there and he's talking about following the Quran and following the Sunnah. Or the person is announcing and is broadcasting, follow the Quran and follow the Sunnah. And if you have to look at the condition of the person, there is no Quran in the person's life and no Sunnah in the person's life. So who are we fooling? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching everything. Allah ta'ala is hearing everything. He knows everything. So there is no other way. So here when Allah ta'ala says that fasting, I am the one that's going to reward. I am the one that is going to be rewarding the fasting person. And when Allah ta'ala takes upon himself to reward, then we can just imagine what that reward must be. And another reading of his wa'ana uzza bihi, that I am the reward of that fast. That means if that person kept that fast in the month of Ramadan, if he observed the fast as it should be observed, restraining himself from haram, and that is where all the pain comes on the heart. That is where the pain comes. I have repeatedly said this, that it is easy to read tasbih, it is easy to make zikr, it is easy to make nafil namaz, it is easy to write a book and publish and print and distribute, it is easy to broadcast, it is easy to do all these things. But when it comes to taking the pain on the heart of restraining ourselves from haram, that when the eyes are invited, that gaze at me, look at my beauty, and that person says, I am looking at the beauty of Allah, and Allah has made it haram for me to look at your beauty, so therefore I will not look at your beauty, I will lower my gaze. And then see what pain comes on the heart to lower that gaze at that time. But if that person is going to do that, then there's a promise in the Hadith Sharif that Allah will give that person halawat of iman. Sweetness of iman will come into that person's heart. So in the same way here, Allah Ta'ala says, "Wa ana udza, I am the reward of that." That means what you are saying all the time and you are asking, that agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. So Allah Ta'ala says that now I am yours. You wanted me to become yours. I gave you a means of making myself yours. And that was this fasting in the month of Ramadan. That in this fasting month, when you restrained yourself from haram, when you restrained yourself even from halal, because it was my order, then I have become yours. And when Allah Ta'ala becomes the friend and the wali of the person, and he becomes the protector of a person, then everything is easy for you. So brothers, this month of Ramadan, let us not waste it. Let us appreciate it. Let us use our time correctly. Let us not pass our time. Ramadan is not a month to pass time. At present, most of us are just passing time. We say that it's a long day, so we have to pass time. So some people indulge in this sin, some people indulge in some other sin, some people just gossip away, some make ghibat, some indulge in backbiting, and all kinds of passing time. But this is not what should be the state of a Muslim and a believer, especially this 1 month of Ramadan. Spend it correctly and see how the 11 months of the month of the year, it becomes easy then to make amal. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire Muslim ummah the tawfiq to appreciate every second of this Mubarak month and to spend it correctly and to stay away from everything that is displeasing to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may Allah ta'ala remove the problems, the difficulties, the trials, the hardships that the Muslim Ummah is facing throughout the globe, especially in Palestine, Kashmir, Chechnya, Bosnia, and even in Africa. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.